future.
There are no people.
There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Hey, everybody, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, it is another Monday, and it is September 13th, 2021. 2021. How many 20s we got in there? 2021. Welcome to Raging Chicken's Out to Coop Live. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. On Out to Coop Live, we talk to progressives, activists, and troublemakers of all sorts, right from our own backyards and from across the country. On Fridays, Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. And check out the Wednesday show. Yes, we got the return of the Wednesday show with Cyril Michalako this Wednesday. Cyril's a progressive columnist from the Bucks County Courier-Times and the Intelligencer, and he joins me to drill down into, you know, Bucks County, Pennsylvania, international politics. We kind of mix it up a little bit in there. Yep. And you can get all our shows by subscribing to our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can support this show by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/rcpress. And if you're listening to this show on the Podbean app, well, you can show us some love right now by hitting that green patron button at the top of the page. Special shout out goes to our newest patron, Pink Lady. Yes, who became a patron at the $15 a month level. Thanks to Pink Lady and all our patrons for your continued support. You can also help out the show by heading on over to YouTube if you're not there already. And, you know, smash that subscribe button, hit the like for this stream, and then hit that notification bell so you know every time that we go live. We're also broadcasting on Riverside.fm. You can join us on Riverside.fm towards the last part of the show if you want to call in. You got some thoughts about tonight's show or about any show that's going on these days. You can also join us on our Discord server, and all the information about how to do that is going to be into the discussion, into the description of tonight's show. For more PA Progressive Talk, tune into the Rick Smith Show's live stream at 9 p.m. Eastern on his YouTube channel, Twitter, or Facebook. And subscribe to his podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just go to therickssmithshow.com for all the latest across all his platforms. And you absolutely must check out the Sisters of the Night Caucus podcast. Yep, the amazing PA women stirring the political cauldron behind this podcast rock the house. And they know where the bodies are buried. Whoop. Yeah, I got to make sure you follow them on Twitter at the Night Caucus. That's at the Night Caucus on Twitter. And subscribe to their podcast, Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. And for all those gamers out there, attention gamers, the Game Inn, that's with two N's. The Game Inn is a Quakertown-based black family-owned gaming store. They're friends of the show, and they've got everything from retro N64s to the latest consoles, video games of all platforms, loads of collectibles, action figures, Funko Pops, you name it. And with back to school, for every A that your kid gets on the report card, they get a discount. Yep. Well, check them out on their Facebook page. Follow them on Twitter at The Game Inn. You got a question, looking for something that's hard to find, just email them at thegameinpa@gmail.com. Again, with two N's, thegameinpa@gmail.com. Special shout out always goes to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at songadayman. Again, two N's, at songadayman on Twitter. Well, you know, I tell you, this has been, I've been looking forward to this show for quite some time. People know the story of what's happening in the Pennridge School District right now and what's happening in Bucks County as we seem to be kind of like barreling full speed toward the cliff. And we got to see if we can pull back on that. So in tonight's show, I welcome Pennridge United School Board candidates Dawn Curran and Carolyn Ciarino. Dawn is a teacher at Central Bucks High School West and has two kids, the oldest of which started first grade this fall. Dawn and her husband have been part of the Pennridge community for the last 15 years. Dawn is especially interested in helping Pennridge evolve and rebuild after the pandemic. Specifically, she is interested in enhancing education with the district's new technology, promoting physical, social, and emotional well-being, and finding new ways to recognize and celebrate diverse backgrounds and experiences of the student body and the community. She comes from a family of teachers and has participated in curriculum writing and leadership activities at Central Bucks, coached several sports teams, and is the faculty advisor for her school's newspaper and the newly formed No Place for Hate Leadership Committee. And Carolyn grew up in Springfield Township in a close-knit Colombian family. Her parents immigrated to the U.S. in their 20s and ran an electrical repair shop and a hair salon. She carries their values of hard work, respect, honesty, strength of character, and kindness into raising her own family in this Benridge School District. She and her husband are raising their four young children in the district, and she has been a fierce advocate for her kids and all the students in the district. She has a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Temple and a master's degree from St. Joe's. She's worked in foster care and adoption, school-based educational programs, and in social service with the Defender Association of Philadelphia. Dawn and Carolyn are running as part of the Penridge United slate of candidates that also includes Adrian King and David O'Donnell, which we had on the show back on August 16th. This year's campaign seems especially contentious as their opponents have embraced much of the right-wing culture war tactics that are infecting school board races throughout Bucks County and across the nation. With that, I welcome you, Dawn, Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yes, thank you so much. This is wonderful.
I'm so glad. And, you know, before we get too far into it, I just want to also note that, there's a fundraising event coming up next Monday, September 20th. It's a Yoga and Wine at Sunset fundraising event in support of the Penridge United candidates. I've got some links in the show notes of how you can kind of find out more about that. And by the end of the show, I hope that everybody is raring to go and want to hit that volunteer sign-up form that we're going to have a link to here, too, as well, to figure out how you can get out there and knock some doors, make some calls, write some letters to the editor, donate some money, and we'll get to all of that. So I'm ready to like jump into like DEI masking debates, right? but I want to pull back a little bit just because, there's going to be people who are listening to tonight's show who might not have not be familiar with your campaigns at this point yet, or the stories of what kind of brings you to the table here. So Dawn, let's start with you and say, what's kind of gotten you to the point where, you decided, okay, you teach, you have a whole day full of education, right? you'd say like, well, the last thing you want to do is have to come home at the end of the day and be on a school board, right? So tell us a little bit about kind of what gets you to this point where you decided to run for school board this year.
Yeah. So my husband is also a teacher. One of the biggest determining factors when we moved into Penridge was the school system. We've been here for 15 years, and I really felt that this was going to be a great place to send our kids to school. I have been following what's been happening in the district over the last few years, and my husband and I have been growing more and more concerned. Our district rankings are falling. They don't look great. Our school board has been making, negative national news for, their far right politics. And, I felt like, the best way that I could, invest myself and, try to give my kids and the community the best educational experience that, they can have and that they deserve, was by getting involved, locally with the school board. I have heard this from many others. We've been doing, I was doing a lot of maybe backseat driving over the last few years, saying like, oh, I wish this would happen, or I wish this would happen, or this is so frustrating. And this was like a vehicle for me to get involved and try to, make some of the positive change that I want to see. And I keep hearing that from people that I talk to. Not everybody's running for school board, but, it feels good to, rather than just be sitting and frustrated, it feels good to try to do something proactive to, be the change that you want to see. So that's really what got me into it.
Well, what you said there too, as well, about seeing our school board make national news, that is one of those things that it's got to be a little bit daunting too, as well, because it's not, it's not something that you're just kind of trying to convince your neighbors and everything. You're really kind of thrusting in this campaign in the middle of, a school board, which, like you said, it's showing up in the New York Times. It's showing up in kind of like a national radio, national TV shows, figuring out what the heck is going on in Penridge. Yeah. So, Carolyn, how about you? Let's kind of turn to you. So what brings you to the table here to decide it's okay, you're going to throw your hat in the ring here and run for school board?
That is a great question. So it's definitely not something that I just woke up one day and said, oh, I'm going to run for school board. I have been very involved in the district for over 7 years, and I've been seeing for the past 2 years plus just how the school board isn't running how it's supposed to be. They're not really taking into account community first, students first. especially recently. I mean, you've seen, I think everybody has seen how it, I'm not sure if it's more of a personal agenda as opposed to what our students need, what our community needs. Just like Dawn had said, our rankings are not doing well. That's what we should be focusing on. We have a curriculum that was set up for 3 years. They were been working on it by professionals. And now all of a sudden, that's sort of on a halt. So it is very concerning. So with those things in mind, and also just seeing how when you think of the school board, you think they should be a representative of our whole community. And throughout the year, I haven't been seeing that, but especially since the beginning of the school year, it has been blatantly clear that they are not representing the whole community. And that is very concerning because the majority of the people in our community don't even have children in the school. So how are you representing everybody? Yet in certain emails that they've been sending out, they're saying that, you know, they use words like the vast majority. I haven't seen any data. I haven't gotten any survey. So it is very concerning to me. So those are really big concerns. I have two children in the school district, like you said, and I have two more that are becoming in. I'm involved. I'm dedicated. And this is my home. So I want to see not just for my children, but for all the children here in Penridge, in our community, for them to actually, when they graduate, to succeed, to be competitive with all those other students. That's what we want. And right now, I'm not seeing that.
No, and I think, you know, you bring up a good point here too, is to be competitive in the world, right, means not just in this community, right? And I think that part of what the, you know, is demanded of our educational system is that we're providing an education for our kids in such a way so that when they go out into the world, they're going to be prepared for that world. You know, and it seems to me that there's this sense in the district where there's some people who've got a vision of the past and they just want to prepare their kids to go back to that past and hold on to something that they've lost. And I feel that I'm devastated by that in so many ways. I've watched my kids go into elementary school and I have to say they've had an amazing experience at Guth. And I've been, you know, watching at the teachers and the principal at Guth have just been phenomenal in really emphasizing, you know, divergent experiences and having everybody kind of talk across their differences and sit down and talk about it and using that as a point of helping the educational process, right? It's been amazing. So to see this as this kind of backlash in some ways feels devastating for my own kids, you know? So, you know, Dawn, let me ask you this. So this is, how do I put this? Well, just go with this. Which is, you know, we're going into back to school now and we've had a year of COVID. It's been incredibly stressful on everybody, whether you have kids in school or not. It's been, and in the school systems, it's been incredibly stressful on the parents, on the teachers, on the administrators across the board. And I think a lot of us have been waiting to go back to school and feeling a certain kind of relief, recognizing that we're not at normal yet, right? But, you know, this was an opportunity for these kids to go back. And it seemed like right before the semester, right before the beginning of the school year, things just went off the rails. I mean, it went off the rails with this anti-masking stuff and with the elimination of all this work that goes in DEI. So I'm curious if you could just kind of walk us through kind of how you see what's going on right now on the board.
All right. Well, that's a big question. Let me start. Yes. Let me start with health and safety and COVID. You know, my family, you know, none of us like wearing masks, of course. You know, I'm a teacher. My husband's a teacher. Like, it has made our jobs more challenging for sure. And it's not something any of us enjoy. But we have always really believed from the beginning that, you know, we have a responsibility to try to, you know, do what's right for other people and, you know, to try as best we can to keep people safe. And we also recognize the value of being in-person learning. And that ultimately is, you know, should be our objective. I mean, that is the top priority for me, is making sure kids can stay in school in person. But we do that safely. And, you know, last year it was tough because the recommendations were, you know, just forming and they were all over the place. But this year it seemed as though, I mean, they're unanimous. You know, everybody is saying that children in school, you know, should be masked as well as the staff. But, you know, school boards, and it's unfortunately not just ours, but school boards, you know, locally and around the country are, you know, really using their positions to run their own political agendas. And, you know, there's tough decisions to be made for sure. But, you know, I am not happy with the board's let me start with the email that they sent out a few weeks ago. I found that email horribly offensive. It was signed by the board president, Mr. Krause, and Ms. Cullen. And the email that was purportedly about the health and safety plan was really a political tirade against Governor Wolf. It claimed to speak for the whole community or the majority of the community. I have talked to many community members who, you know, my view and their view on masks differs a little bit, but they're still saying, like, that did not speak for me. You know, nobody asked my opinion. And, you know, for them to put that out there in this politically charged language, like, I really found that inappropriate. And I totally agree. I mean, the board did nothing in that email, and they have done nothing over, you know, the past weeks, month, to address the concerns of parents who were worried about their kids' health and safety. Instead, you know, they have been ignoring emails. They've been, you know, claiming that there is this majority out there that, you know, has their backs and supports what they're doing, but I don't see it. And, you know, my biggest concern is making sure the kids stay safe. And I am not a doctor. Nobody on the board is. I'm not a medical expert.
Exactly.
You know, I think it is the responsibility of our leaders to, you know, heed the advice of experts. And, you know, their top priority should be keeping our kids safe. So I'm really disappointed. I'm angry. You know, honestly, I'm fearful, like, for kids' health. And I'm also fearful that we're going to find ourselves in the situation where in-person school is going to be hard to maintain. And I really think that that's a major failure of the current board.
Yeah, you know, and I think my perspective is always, okay, you start with, you go the extra mile in terms of safety, because that's much more easy to dial that back than it is to ramp it up. And if we're talking about, you know, an explosion of cases of COVID, right, in our schools, once that's out of the bag, you know, then we're going to be facing questions about, do we go online? Do we go in a hybrid thing? And I don't know anybody that wants to go in that direction right now. And, you know, and to underscore the point you were making there about this being kind of politically motivated, we've also seen almost the exact copies of that letter has now shown up at the York-like school district, has been showing up at school districts across the state, which shows you that this is really a political agenda that's being coordinated somewhere, right? Rather than, like, really focused on how are we going to ensure the best things for our kids. So Carolyn, when you were approaching this school year, you know, I'm sure, like Dawn, you know, nobody wanted to be in this situation. But what's your take on where the board is right now and what's happening?
So my take on the board right now is really just them being very irresponsible. That's really, I feel like, what it comes down to. Like, I understand, like all of us, you hear a lot of, oh, we want our kids to stay in school. We want them to not be masked. I want my kids to stay in school, but I want not just my kids, but all of the kids to be healthy. And in order to do that, exactly like you said, Kevin, is that you start with masks. And then especially, here's my stance also, especially for the most vulnerable, which are the ones that aren't even given the option. So to just say, I'm going to start the year as mask optional, and then trickling down when all the medical experts are recommending, their recommendations are aligned, and to still feel that way, not even to think. I mean, I've sent several emails to say, I can understand the high schooler. They're able to get vaccine, then possibly do optional there. I can understand that. But when I'm looking at my kids in the elementary that don't have that option, and that when they're starting school regular, they're sitting next to each other, there's no 6 feet anymore. So I'm saying that's when I believe they're really doing, it's risky behavior is how I feel. I feel like they're jeopardizing the health of our children and also the ability of them to potentially continue to be in school. Because if this does, I mean, in the news, it's what one in every four that's being...
Right.
That's tested positive for COVID or children. We're not making this up. I don't want my children to wear masks. They sometimes complain about it. I get it. Nobody does. But it's not just for my safety and my family. It's for your safety and your family in the community. And I think people really struggle with that. I'm not trying to set rules for you or tell you what to do. Hands down, no, I definitely am not. We're not. It's just a matter of safety. It's a matter of making sure our children remain safe so that they can do soccer, so that they can do Girl Scouts, so that they can go to school. And then eventually, this isn't something that, it's going to last forever, God willing. Eventually, then those mandates, the masks can be less. I mean, that's where I'm looking at it. And it is very concerning because if you're, like I said earlier, if you're supposed to be a representative of the whole community and you have people that are saying, I'm really concerned. And I don't even have children that have medical issues. We've talked to many community members that do have children with medical issues and they do not feel supported at all. And you know what? I don't blame them. They should be able to send their children to the Penrith School District. They absolutely should. And so you're writing these emails, which is how we're supposed to communicate with the school board, and you're not getting any response back. So that in and of itself is alarming.
100%. You know what? I look at it like, it's the old expression, right? You know, your freedom to kind of throw a punch ends at the tip of my nose, right? You know, I mean, that whole notion that, okay, you could do whatever you want until you start having an impact, especially a negative impact on me. And this is a perfect example of this. And so, there people waving their hands around saying, you can't tell me what to do. And I'm thinking like, this is the 3-year-old argument. Right. This is what like my 3-year-olds did is like, no, you're not the boss of me. I mean, that's really at the level that we're at here. And, you know, I'm saying like, I'm sorry, you don't get just for the same reason you don't get the right to speed down my street when my kids are playing. You don't get the right to go around and like send like, you know, bio bombs into the school in the form of like, like unvaccinated people or people who are not wearing masks. I mean, it's bonkers to me. And, I have some neighbors who work with, a special needs kids, right? And those kids are being forced to stay at home. They're being forced to be in kind of isolation. And they're having even more of a negative impact because several of them are immunocompromised. And so to send them back into schools. And so now they're getting like a double impact on that. And, as someone who's at, I have a mentally disabled sister myself, right? And I know she had many issues over the years. To think about if she was going back in the school and growing up, I'm like, you put my sister's health at risk here. So on the one hand, we've got this real, out of proportion response about freedom or whatever when it comes to a pandemic, when we could, like, everybody just wants this to be over, right? I mean, it's exhausting, right? But the quickest way to get there is to make sure that we suppress the virus, wear the mask, get the vaccine, and move on. We know these things. And so that's what's frustrating. And then on the other hand, right, we've got this like culture war going on when it comes to actually making sure that our curriculum is kind of as welcoming as and engaging to all students in our district as possible. And I know, Carolyn, I've heard you at a couple of school board meetings speak towards this too as well. And, the curricular stuff has just been so out of whack with this kind of like critical race theory nonsense and all this when you're just trying to talk about serving the kids in our district. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I feel like, and I think that also what people are confused about, and once again, the school board doesn't do a good job with separating it, is that when we're talking about the diversity, the equity, the inclusion, it's not just the curriculum. So the curriculum is what the teachers do. They're the professionals. Right. That's all on them. That's why they were hired. But then there are the other parts that have to do like with the volunteer parents and then with the district. And I feel like people were very confused because they just clumped it in one. So people were thinking, well, what do volunteers have to do with my child's curriculum? And there was never that clarification really. So people were just confused, just like they were confused when people were just bringing up critical race theory and saying, oh, it's being taught. But sometimes I feel like it's not so much the confusion than the play on words, because we've had meetings with the superintendent and he sent out facts and questions saying specifically there is no teaching of the critical race theory at Penrith. However, that's not shared. They continue to push. It is. There was a comment made. So that's really the disheartening, scary things that you have who's been hired as the two superintendents specifically saying that over and over again, that this is not in Penrith. This is not something that they want to have in Penridge. Yet, there's still people, even on the school board, that's saying it's happening, it's leaking in. So, you know, it's confusing to other people. I can totally understand that, which is why right. It's so important to tell people really what's – and I always tell people, if you want the answers to your questions, don't go to social media. You know, go to the outlets. Call the superintendent. Call the principal of the school that you're at. Call people that actually have answers.
Right. And I think that, you know, and I think one of the really disheartening things that the current school board has been doing is – you know, you take something that could be confusing, right? See, somebody is not sure and they you can clarify confusion, right? But then when that confusion is kind of like fostered, right? That is kind of like, you know, the fire is lit, gas is poured on, and to purposely conflate it with something that it's not. That's some kind of like conspiracy. I mean, critical race theory came out of freaking Harvard Law School. And it was a way of trying to understand how is it that racism persists despite the fact there's a series of laws that have been passed and promoting civil rights. That's the origins of it, right? And to say that, you know, trying to make sure that our kids are getting exposure to the way that our world actually is, not as the way they think it should be back in 1950s or something like this, but the way that it actually is and prepare them for that is that you want to have making sure that we're doing that every place. And right, when someone walks into the school, like a kid comes into the school, right, they should feel welcome there. I mean, this is not hard. So, I mean, you know, Dawn, from where you sit, what do you see kind of is at stake here with this, you know, this culture warrior nonsense around, say, the critical race theory or what Joan Cullen basically was able to engineer during the school board meeting and basically ditch like 3 years of work?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton at stake. And, you know, you said it well when you said, you know, every student needs to be able to come into school and feel safe and accepted. And they need to feel safe and accepted in who they are. They shouldn't be trying to hide that or trying to conform to be like everybody else, which, you know, I keep hearing, and I'll call them mixed messages, but honestly, I've come to just believe that they are lies, you know, from some members of our school board and some vocal community members. You know, on one hand, they'll tell us that they had a problem with the process of DEI and they want to start over and that they're concerned that there's too much focus on race and that's actually problematic. But out of the other side of their mouth, you know, or if you catch them in front of a group of, you know, vocal community members, they'll say, we don't want DEI. It's not coming back. And, you know, basically they will gloat about having pulled like the rug out from under the district because right now they have halted all DEI. You know, they have halted yep. Martin Luther King Day of Service is off for this year. You know, staff development training to support transgender students canceled. You know, PTOs and HSAs, the parent-led organizations, they're not allowed to be including any diversity content or they can't be linked to the district website. It is, I mean, this is extreme. This is crazy. And, you know, I think to appease maybe the more moderate voters, some people are saying like, oh, it's going to come back. We're going to build it back up. But let's be honest, the people that they have tasked with this are Joan Cullen, who, you know, has been a strong vocal opponent of anything related to DEI. She is picking the representatives or picking a third of the representatives for this community or for this new committee. And, you know, I don't think it's misunderstood. I think it's a lie. You know, I think that they are trying to get rid of any sort of DEI. And, you know, I think it is just purely out of bigotry, honestly. I mean, I do. And, you know, there's so much of this that concerns me, but, you know, the attacks on the LGBTQ community have really increased,
kind of horrific.
You know, in the district, like, and it, you know, there is a vocal group in the community that has gone after, a high school staff member who advises the Gay Straight Alliance Club and, you know, they are asking that ally flags be taken down from classrooms, that, you know, students should not be asked about, you know, their preferred pronouns, that's inappropriate. And, you know, other supports like that for students who are an extremely vulnerable population are being taken away. And not only are those supports being taken away, but, I mean, these kids hear what's happening in their community. I mean, they hear that a large vocal contingent, including the leaders of our school board, don't believe that they should have these supports. And, I mean, it's really awful. You know, I don't blame those students for not feeling safe and not feeling supported. And I mean, that's just one segment of our population who, you know, now is really left floundering and, you know, feeling probably even more, you know, isolated than they may have previously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at for example, the suicide rates among kind of transgender kids and LGBTQ kids, right? Kind of growing up, they continue to spike, right? And there's been some progress on that score, like over the past several years, where people are finally saying, no, we can't let kids die. Right. Because, you know, you can say whatever you want. You can have your opinions about whatever you want, but it is just unconscionable to like promote a system which drives kids towards suicide. And that's just, I find that as a parent, but I'm like, no, as a human being, right? I mean, I don't care where you fall on the political spectrum. I mean, to actively want that is horrific to me. And the fact that, so the little progress that had been made in schools where we're beginning to kind of open this up, right? And again, it's still not easy for those kids. Right. It's still not easy. But the fact that they had like one or two places that they could go, or at least some kind of acknowledgement that what was going on for them was, you know, they weren't crazy, or they weren't alone, or they weren't outcast, or they weren't, you know, fill in the blank of the messages that they've already got playing in their minds. And, you know, to see that just kind of ripped away at the last minute is just horrible. And, you know, I struggle with this a lot. And, you know, one of the problems of all of this turning into this like really like off the rails political ideological warfare thing is that, you know, they use this critical race theory stuff as a really to get everybody really riled up. And, you know, I've watched Joan Cullen on this board now for a while. Actually, it was actually campaigning for the last round of a school board elections. And they put me at her polling place to campaign against her, which I was very happy about. But and, you know, one of the things that she's very good at is she's very good at kind of keeping her distance from the most extreme things when there is these public spaces. And she lets all these other people do the work. Right. And so I watched that school board meeting where you had, you know, people in the audience saying some horrific things. One of them to one of my colleagues at Kutztown, when she got up to speak, she got maybe five words out of her mouth before she was being heckled from the audience. And then Joan Cullen just sits back down there and then she engineers it, lets everyone else do their dirty work and says, well, it seems that there's a problem here. So we need to kind of shift focus. And, you know, people really need to be paying attention to what's happening with this because we cannot allow this to stand. And, you know, I've watched your campaigns and I've been so encouraged by the work that you all are doing because, you know, I hear them from my neighbors now, like for the first time since I've been in Perkasie and I've been here since like what, 13 years now, almost. I see yard signs up all over the place, right? And I know who the people are who are on the yard signs, right? That could be one of the most difficult things for, you know, I think people in a community to figure out is like, you know, people running for the school board. And it's this ironic thing where we know more about our national politics than we do about what's happening right in our own backyards. And that's going to heavy lift. So let me give you an opportunity to just to, you know, in addition to these, you know, I don't want to say these are not absolutely critical fundamental issues around kind of health and safety and on the curriculum. But, you know, Dawn, we can start with you. You know, are some of the other things that that you really kind of want to bring to the table, right? The school board that is kind of really about, you know, taking the Pennridge School District to that next level.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's so many hot button issues right now that are getting a lot of attention and coverage. And, you know, understandably, and I feel strongly about, you know, COVID safety and about DEI too. But I think that they are detracting from what was an underlying problem in this district already. And that is our achievement. I mean, if you look at us compared to surrounding districts, I mean, our taxpayers, you know, whether they have kids in the district or not, are paying, you know, they're paying a lot of money comparable to other surrounding districts. But our students, our test results are not reflecting as well as they should. And you know, it has been, you know, an ongoing slide. The source that I refer to the most is the U.S. News and World Report, annual report of the best high schools in the country and in the state. Because, you know, as a teacher, that's a meter that I like and respect because it uses a variety of factors and how they determine their rankings. And, you know, we are at least 100 spots lower than every surrounding district. And, you know, and I don't hear the board talking about that. I think that they are sweeping that under the rug, and they instead are generating, you know, all this fear and outrage about these political, national political topics. And, you know, they're hiding the fact that they're not doing their jobs and, you know, giving our students what they need to succeed. You know, we talked a little bit about curriculum, but, you know, our teachers, I mean, they are the experts. They should be the ones writing curriculum. You know, 100%. We as community members and parents should come, you know, to the curriculum committee meetings and give input. But parents should not be given, like, you know, up and down majority vote on, you know, line by line the curriculum. I mean, that is a horrible can of worms and totally out of, like, you know, the purview of how public education should work. And, you know, unfortunately, like, that's a tug of war that's happening in our district now, and it's our kids that are suffering. You know, I carefully reviewed the English curriculum in particular that was proposed, and it was a really well-written, like, thorough curriculum and also very traditional. There was only a few sections that really included modern literature. And, you know, our board approved and really critiqued, like, those more contemporary, like, modern sections. And that's a detriment to our kids. And I think that, you know, what I know what the Pennridge United candidates want to do is, I mean, we realize we have tough choices to make about these hot button issues, but we also want to do the work and, you know, figure out, like, how we can steer this district, like, onto a path of, like, higher achievement. And I think that we are, you know, a well-equipped group of candidates to do that.
That's awesome. Like, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Vote now. Can we vote now, please? Seriously, what you said there about, like, teachers should be the ones who are designing the curriculum is, like, I can't look. I teach in higher education, right? But I recognize that the work that I do in higher ed is not the same that is going on in K-12 schools. And I go into K-12 schools and I'm in awe and, like, in deference of what these teachers are doing there. And yes, I have questions, like, that I want to understand to help my kids, like, do stuff at home. Like, but I'm watching, you know, some of the new things that are happening in writing curriculums and things like this, which I'm, as a composition teacher, somebody teaches writing at higher ed, I'm just like, whoa, I wish I had this when I was there, you know? So there's, like, these moments where you can see when teachers are in control, amazing things can happen. And I mean, yeah, all the experts, and I'm willing, you know, to as a parent, like, yes, more of this, please. So, I mean, Carolyn, how about you? When you're sitting there, you say, okay, other issues that you think are need to be front and center as part of these campaigns, and that, say, the Pennridge United candidates, or you in particular, are bringing to the table that you'd like to focus on.
So in addition to the curriculum, which is a huge topic, even before the COVID and all that, that was one of the things that I was really trying to focus on, was the updating the curriculum, because it hasn't been updated in over a decade. But it's also, just to add a piece to that, is that they hired a wonderful superintendent. And I feel like they're undermining what he's doing. He is the superintendent that oversees the teachers that are doing the curriculum. They're not allowing him to do his job when it comes to that. And I feel like that's an issue right there. You know, like, if you're hiring someone that has incredible credentials to do this and that has overseen it for 3 years, that's a problem for me. Because in that case, I feel like the school board is overstepping what they're supposed to be doing, because, as we stated before, they're not medical professionals and they're not teachers. Right. So one thing, the other, in regards to, you know, DEI is obviously very important, the health and safety with the masking. But one big thing for me also is the transparency. Is it's hard as a community member when you go to these school board meetings, basically they're talking to you and you get up there and you can say a comment, but it's not a conversation. It's really, they hear your comment. And so what they say we're able to do is you're able to email them and that you're going to get a response. That's how you have that communication. None of that. And I'm not even saying within the last month. I need to be honest. This has been going on for a while.
Yes.
And this is the school board. They don't, you know, you can email all of them, you can email one of them, and I don't hear from any of them. Very rarely. Unless, you know, I have heard from one that just really just kind of danced around my question three emails later and basically said, I'm done. So that really didn't get anywhere there. And also, like, with the decisions that they make, if they're supposed to represent the community, clearly it's something like the masking, and they did not, I would expect that they would then have a clear explanation of how they came about that decision so that us, the community, can understand. We may not like it, but at least we understand, as opposed to basically they're just saying, this is what's going on and that's it. You know, that's alarming to me in regards to something like the curriculum. The curriculum was set and then there was updates made. But if someone didn't see the original curriculum and then later saw it, there's nothing that noted the changes that were done. Mm-hmm. So once again, unless you're constantly looking, and people live busy lives, unless you're constantly checking all of these things, I feel like in a way that it's a little sneaky to me is how I'm seeing it. You have to be very transparent because you are representing the whole community. So transparency is a very big deal for me, and I feel like they're failing with that.
I would agree 100%. And I think that, you know, I can't echo enough what you just said about, you know, people are living really busy lives. To have this sneak up, like, I mean, that's what it feels like at times. It feels like, okay, this is kind of coming out of nowhere. What do I need to pay attention to now? And just you're sitting up there spending extra time, like burning the candle at both ends, trying to kind of find out what's going on in your school, in addition to like, what's the latest app that my kid needs to know about? Where the heck's the passwords, right? You know, that kind of thing. I mean, just the you know, the rudimentary things that you do is, you know, as part of the school year, just to be able to understand what's going on. And, you know, and something that, Dawn, you had mentioned before about the curriculum and the original curriculum. I mean, I looked over the, like, the English curriculum too as well. I looked over some of the stuff that I understand. Some of the stuff I'm just, you know, I don't know how to evaluate. But some of the stuff I did, I looked at it and, you know, I recognize where I live, right? I mean, I recognize that this is a relatively kind of conservative area here, but I mean, not entirely. That's changing kind of quite significantly in the county. But still, you know, so I kind of know that going in, right? So it would not surprise me if we had a curriculum that was kind of more, you know, bent towards more some classical texts and things like this, and that we would have a kind of, you know, a more of a slow, I don't know, development or evolution of what's happening in the curriculum to include more diverse authors and things like this. That wouldn't be my preference, right? I mean, I would have things, but I also recognize I'm a realist of that, right? And I understand that school board members are, you know, have to weigh that because you're accountable to, you know, multiple constituencies, right? To the community, or the who are the taxpayers, but also to parents and also to teachers and the kind of the administration. So there's a lot going on there. But you want at the very least as a parent in the district or somebody who's in the community to know that, like, these people are being above board, and it's kind of like their job to help us understand what we need to know about the decisions that are being made. At least that's how I'm thinking about it. I mean, I don't know. It's frustrating, I have to say. Well, so we're coming kind of to the close of our little time here. Little time. I don't know why I just said little time. I suppose there's a big time. Well, I'm gonna put it like that. We're close to our big time here. How about that? I'd be remiss if we didn't kind of close out here, because I really want people to understand like where they can go to kind of help out and what they can do to help out your kind of your candidacy, your campaigns, everything from volunteering to fundraising, whatever. If you had to kind of get your priority list, what might be there? Karen, let's start with you. Where can people go? What could they do to help out?
Okay, perfect. And I'm glad that you asked that. First, I want people to just get educated on who the candidates are. Really look them up. Really, if you know, I know we all have our fake. We have the Penridge United. You can ask, you know, there's an email. Ask us those questions. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear your questions. If we don't have the answers, we'll find them for you. This is such an important election. We see it now, how much power the school board has. So one thing that we always do is every Saturday and Sunday, we meet up at the Dunkin' Donuts in Silverdale at 11 a.m. So if you would like to come out and canvass with one of our volunteers, that would be amazing if you could do that. We're always canvassing the candidates. I actually was canvassing today in Hilltown, If you have any questions, we're there. So that's a great time to also drive by, grab a coffee, grab a donut, come and chit chat with us. Like, we're there. That's like a great time because 11 every Saturday, every Sunday, Silverdale. Another thing is we do, if someone's interested to actually maybe have a Zoom, if they want to do that with us, if they have certain questions, we've actually had a couple of those with some teachers and some people that wanted to meet with us and we didn't do a meet and greet. They can also do a meet and greet at their home if they would like. Anything that would bring up that conversation, anything, if you have a neighbor that's interested in knowing more about us, if you have a neighbor that would like to canvass, if you have a neighbor that, I mean, canvassing is our big thing. We need to make sure people know, not just that we're running, but that there's an election coming up, that it's really important because we're not only trying to let people know who we are, but also to give facts and clear up the misconceptions people have of what they're hearing. Because one time we're knocking on doors saying one thing, and then you have, you know, the other group knocking and saying something else. So it's just really trying to be able to get to as many doors as we can. We also have, we're in the middle of doing, going to be doing mailers. So if someone doesn't feel so comfortable maybe as doing canvassing, you can go onto the volunteer form that I believe you were going to put on the comments that, let's say if we need help with stuffing or stamps or anything like that, that would be great. If we also are always fundraising because sending out mailers is really expensive. So we definitely need help with that. Also, Dawn, is there, what did I miss?
Well, I just wanted to, and I, maybe this is obvious to all of our listeners, but I think I might have known this a year ago, but canvassing is knocking on doors. I know, like I think I knew that term a year ago. I just, you know, it's a frequent topic of conversation.
It's not painting
for us now. But you know, and at first, you know, people have told us they think it's going to be intimidating, but we pair you up with like a friendly, you know, person who's done it before, and it ends up being like a fun kind of social event. And you know, you really find, I've enjoyed like talking to people in the community. You know, I've seen different neighborhoods in the community that I, you know, didn't know existed. You know, and you get to chat and hear what people, you know, in Penridge are concerned with. And we send our volunteers to Democrat houses, you know, to Democrat voters. So you should have, you know, likely friendly people opening the doors, people, you know, who are generally like-minded. So I think, you know, Carolyn touched on this, but it's just so important to even just talk to your neighbors, talk to people, you know, parents from your kid's school, talk at the bus stop. I can't tell you how many people don't know there's a school board election coming up or don't know how it works. They don't know that there's, you know, four-year seats available. So they're going to get four votes for the four open seats. And there's actually another separate section of the ballot. Yeah, fifth candidate who will be filling a two-year seat for someone who resigned. So, you know, they show up on November 2nd and vote at their normal polling place. You know, some people are like, well, do I vote at the high school? Do I vote at this link on the literature you're giving me? And, you know, it's part of what you're doing is just informing them. And that's important, you know, in local elections, like, you know, dozens of votes, 100 votes, you know, can swing things one way or the other. So really just getting the word out is a huge help. And, you know, it's always awkward asking for money, but we could always use it. So even, you know, just a small donation, it does have an impact. And, you know, I was out canvassing this past weekend, and I was, my mom was driving me around and pulling into these like farms because there's a lot of rural areas in Percocet and Penridge. And, you know, it's hard to reach them all. And the best way to do it, if you can't go and knock on the door, is to send mail. And like Carolyn said, mail is expensive. So that's where, you know, most of our budget goes. And we're, you know, lucky people have been really generous, but, you know, any money that's donated is going to be well spent for sure.
Well, and like, you know, I understand the discomfort there. I mean, I remember when we first started doing this, right, with Raging Chicken, is like one of the things I was very reluctant to do was ask money because, you know, ask for money, even though, but you recognize like server space costs money, right, to do this stuff. And so I will do the hard sell here is like, seriously, if you want to talk about, for people who've gone out and donate to campaigns at a national level, right, during a presidential election year and all this kind of stuff, your money goes out, your $20, your $50, your $100, whatever you can give, it goes into this giant, ginormous campaign, right? So it's a small bit in a large, you know, in a huge bucket. When you give that kind of amount here to local elections, the bang for your buck is enormous. And, you know, again, anybody who's listening to this who's never really thought about school board elections before, remember that feeling of not knowing what's going on, right? I mean, I know when I moved to this area, it was so hard to figure out, like, you know, first school board election that happened, I saw signs up. I'm like, I don't know who these people are. Like, I mean, I don't, when I see Joan Cullen, I'm like, I don't know what that means, you know? And so, and I'm going to go to vote, and really, what am I going to vote for? You know, who, what do I know? This is that opportunity to really have an impact. So yes, get out there, go knock on doors with these folks, go and kind of meet them and talk to them and give them some money, right? Donate to the campaign and it will have a disproportional impact. And if you just drive around kind of the Pennridge district, or if you're in a different school district and you have other elections that are going on that have similar issues, right? We know this is happening in Palisades, it's happening in Central Bucks, it's happening all over the state right now. Get involved, find out what's going on, and donate where you can, because you all certainly deserve it. And I know that it's hard to break through, but I mean, I feel more encouraged from the campaign that you all are running right now than I have in a long time here. So thank you for doing everything that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to talk with you and answer these questions. It's great. It's great to have another platform so people can listen to us and hear what we have to say. So thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. And I appreciate, you know, we've gotten, this is, it's not going to lie, this is hard, you know, like campaigning and the stakes of school board elections these days. But I think what really has fueled us is the support from people in the community. And, you know, I really feel like change is coming, and I hope it's coming on November 2nd, you know, but I know that it's coming. You know, I have met so many people in this community that, you know, just want to make sure that, you know, our values about respecting others and, you know, are following the advice of experts and making sure that our kids have a good education where everybody, you know, feels included and safe. There are a lot of people in the community that, you know those things are important, and we just, you know, we're banding together, and it's, you know, it's encouraging, and it makes me happy. So thank you again for giving us this platform to kind of get our message out there.
Oh, thank you so much. I want to thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Dawn, so much for coming on here. That is Carolyn Ciarino and Dawn Curran, who are running for school board as part of the Pennridge United slate of candidates in the Pennridge School District. I cannot emphasize enough of how important it is to help out and support these candidates get out there. And I want to remind you, too, as well, we're going to have links in the show notes about this, but there's a fundraiser that's coming up. It's a yoga and wine sunset fundraising event. There's a link right there, information and how that you can join and how can you kind of donate to help support that event. And there's the links to the Pennridge United Volunteer Forum, which you can find out all the things you could do. And like, literally, if you are completely terrified of kind of like going and talking to people, you could do phone banking, right? You can stuff mailers, right? You can do research, you can write op-eds, you can do a whole lot of things that are going to help support these candidates. So thank you for everything that you do. Look, we're going to be right there with you. We hope to have you back. Anything that we can do on our end to kind of help get the word out, I'll be more than happy to do that. So thanks again for being here with us tonight. So everybody, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with my closing thoughts. And I want to remind you that if you do want to call in with anything about what we talked about here tonight or anything else that's on your mind, you'll be able to kind of join us through the riverside.fm. The information on that is in the show notes about how to join. I've got a couple of closing thoughts, which includes a letter that I just got today from the Presbyterian Church of Deep Run, which I think that you'll all enjoy hearing a little bit after the break. But for now, we're going to say kind of good night and thank you for spending time, some valuable time tonight. Carolyn Ciarino and Dawn Curran, all the best, and kind of we're rooting for you, and we'll be out there with you. Take care. So this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We're going to be back right after this quick break with some more fun from the Pennridge School District. We'll be right back after this quick one. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. I got to say, man, we had a major kind of folks kind of joining us on YouTube tonight, which I'm very, very excited about. And want to remind you that if you want to have something to say, that you want to throw something into the comments, if you want to, you know, give a call in through riverside.fm, the information on how to do that, it should be right in the show notes that you can click on. But I just wanted to kind of wind us up a little bit tonight with some kind of closing thoughts. One thing that I wanted to read a selection of something for you. This is literally just came out today, and this is from the Presbyterian Church of Deep Run. This is not exactly what you would call a new kid on the block. The Presbyterian Church of Deep Run was founded in 1725, so they've been around for a while. Right? They've been in this community for a while. They sent out this email to the Pennridge School Board, which I think should indicate to you how divergent what is happening on the school board is right now to what's happened at any point before this, at least in kind of recent history, recent memory here. So this is from the Presbyterian Church of Deep Run, addressed to the Pennridge School Board. It says, "We are aware that on Monday, August 23rd, you passed a motion to immediately stop all administration-led diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, work, as well as purge DEI content from district resources. We know that Dr. Bolton, the superintendent, went on record against the motion, but the board overrode his recommendation. It was announced a new school board-level committee will be formed, and they will determine if any diversity issues exist in our district. Education is supposed to be designed to prepare our children for the world, not just the district. It's vital we provide the tools to allow our children to form their own opinions rooted in compassion for others. Reading and discussing diverse views are essential to their education. Efforts to limit this aren't just happening in our community. This is a national movement trying to scare people into believing critical race theory, in quotes, is poisoning our students in K-12 grade levels. We know some believe racism is not and has not been a problem in our country. Our session," that's their governing council, "committed last year to being a, quote, Matthew 25 church, which calls us to be the hands and feet of Christ in our community. The initiative from our denomination, Presbyterian Church USA, has three focuses. One, building congregational vitality. Two, eradicating systemic poverty. And three, dismantling structural racism. Some may perceive that action of our school board perpetuates structural racism. Structural racism is real, and it separates us from a compassionate community where all are welcome. In times like these, we must search our own hearts. We've heard many say, 'I'm not racist,' or 'I don't see color, I just see people.' But those answers are naive to the reality of the human condition. As Jesus illustrated in the Gospels, we can look clean on the outside and say we don't see color. We can have clean hands but dirty hearts. We all have embedded biases within us. As faith leaders, we admit it in ourselves. Psychological research has proven those biases have been passed down from generation to generation. Thinking critically about the ways race intersects with our history doesn't mean a person hates America. We love this nation with all of our hearts, not because we have ignored the sins of our ancestors, but in spite of them. Learning about the importance of MLK Day in elementary school, reading about the Trail of Tears in middle school, dialogues about women's suffrage and the fight for civil rights in high school, all these help us to become more compassionate people and more informed and engaged citizens of this nation that we love, this nation that has always desired for the next generation to be better than the one before. The Apostle Paul preached that, quote, no longer is there Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. It was messages like this that got him arrested and killed. Paul, like Jesus, knew that it's hard work to nurture diverse communities where all can truly be one body. It was difficult then, it is still difficult today. It requires people who truly recognize and admit racism is real, and the biases that create it lurk not just out there, but embedded much closer to home, in our own hearts. We pray the board will reverse course and reinstate the administration-led diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Allow the superintendent to do the job he was hired to do on behalf of our children. Additionally, we pray the board will not restrict leaders from using books and resources from authors simply because they have a critical view of American history. Those are important stories that deserve to be told. And there's a little bit more after that, but I wanted to stop there. So, you know, again, you're not going to, generally on this show, you're not going to hear me reading for church bulletins, right? But I think this shows you whatever, you know, again, you don't need to be Presbyterian. You don't even need to be Christian, right, to read this and recognize that this is written from a group that is attempting to put their principles into practice and looking at their own communities, right? And putting, you know, again, putting in their own congregation, right? Taking that risk to say, no, we're going to stand by these ideals. We're going to stand by these principles and say, we want better for us and our community and our kids. That's pretty impressive. So I just wanted to share that because, it did come up, like I said, just today, and tells us a little bit about how we might imagine this kind of better future, because it is really difficult now. Now, I do want to say one more thing about tonight. And, you know, I really didn't want to get into this during our interview tonight, in part because I wanted you to get to know them a bit. Right. But this is just, I think it's appropriate in this kind of after moment to point out the fact that, you know, we are talking about a systematic kind of ideological agenda that is using our kids and our school district as pawns in a political game. And it's not even a political game that is within the mainstream of most people in our communities, right? This is an extreme agenda, right, that is designed, you know, I'll call it what it is. This is kind of white. This is the face of white supremacy in this society. This is what it looks like. And I'll tell you, the more I read and the more I listen to kind of historians have talk about the period of the rise of the Klan, for example, or the kind of the backlash of Reconstruction or the backlash after the kind of Brown v. Board of Education decision, they were speaking in the same tones, very often in the same language that we hear coming out of the mouths of people like Joan Cullen and the school board candidates who are running against Pennridge United. There are members of the opposition, we'll say, Republicans who are running for school board, who have no problem, right? And the screen captures of their own like social media account shows this. They have actively promoted QAnon conspiracy theories. They've said things about transgendered and LGBTQ communities, students, individuals that really are just like inhumane. And they've cultivated this rage that has divided this community even further than it had been before. Like I said, you don't live in the Pennridge School District and thinking that you've moved to some sort of progressive paradise or something like this, right? Let's be clear, right? But there wasn't this level of vitriol and open, like, people screaming at each other like there was before. Like we see, you know, we saw in the Central Bucks School District, for example, right? You know, there were these kind of like, you know, militants, like white supremacist, white nationalist militants who were planning on going visiting a school board under the auspices of having like a picnic. We've seen multiple examples now, both in this state and across the country, of, you know, these radicals, extremists, going in and threatening school board members, kicking them out, forcing them out of the building, and proclaiming that they are now in charge. We have a candidate, right, for commissioner, I think county commissioner, Northampton in Lehigh Valley, right, who's basically said he's going to take 20 strong men and go in and take over the school board. They have a choice. They can leave or we'll drag them out, right? I mean, this is happening in a situation in our communities. And again, my theory for this has been for a long time. If you listen to our Friday show, if you listen to our Out to Coop Live, you heard me talk about this before, but this is the next level replay of what we saw in 2010 with the Tea Party, right? The Tea Party was like that first round of kind of like in the modern era of let's see if we can really, you know, kind of shake the trees, right? And kind of drive these, you know, like disengaged kind of racist white supremacists kind of out of the woods and get them activated to vote, right? There's been, you know, Karl Rove, for example, is well known, is on the national level, I understand, but was using, for example, the battles over the Confederate flag in South Carolina. This is years ago, as overt testing grounds for political action. Wanted to know that, look, they're recognizing that they're becoming increasingly a minority party, and they have to find ways of getting people out motivated and out to vote. And they found that, okay, those people that we need to get out to vote are people who are motivated by some of our darker natures. Let's put it like that. And so they used that, you know, the Confederate flag as that cultural issue to drive people out to the polls, and it worked. And since then, the Republican Party has cultivated that. We cannot allow this to happen in our communities, right? We cannot allow our school boards to be taken over by this kind of extremism and send us back, like, you know, 50 years, more than that. So that Tea Party was that, you know, national organized level to get into state politics. And what happens, you know, look, let's be frank about it. Like, Democrats are usually slow on the uptake on this stuff, right? For the longest time, again, when we first started Raging Chicken and started paying attention to the white supremacists in this state that were holding rallies out in Harrisburg, or who were posting white supremacist flyers in my university, at Kutztown University, and in Boyertown, right? We saw that there were cross burnings with that. We were dismissed. Sean Kitchen and I were dismissed very often as kind of like, listen, you know, you're just kind of like, you're fanning the flames here. You're kind of like paying attention to something that's not really a big problem, or the reverse of that, right? Just ignore them and they'll go away. By talking about them, you actually give them a platform, right? And so just ignore them. And that's really what the Democratic Party has done for a long time. That's what a lot of, say, good-meaning people have done for a long time. You thought that you could rely upon social graces or something for them to just go away on their own. They have proven to all of us that they are not going to go away on their own, right? That we have to beat them at the polls. We have to get out. We have to organize. We have to get behind candidates like Dawn and Carolyn and Adrian and David, who are running for as part of the Pembridge United School District, our platform here. Slate, I should say. We got to get behind them. We got to help them out in ways that we can, right? So listen, I really appreciate everybody kind of coming out tonight. I really appreciate you kind of staying with me for this little bit of kind of afterthought. And I appreciate the immense amount of support that has been coming our way as over, you know, the past couple months. It's meant a whole lot to me, I have to say. You know, not just in terms of the numbers of new members that we've had come on, new patrons that have kind of stepped up and, you know, gone to patreon.com/RC Press and become a patron. Obviously, that's huge, but also people that are kind of sharing our content, getting the word out, connecting us with other people to kind of bring on the show, to really, you know, be part of this movement. And that's been always been the goal and our actions here, is to keep the media in the movement and the movement in the media, and to move us that one step closer. It's like, you know, one of the things that, you know, people love to quote Dr. Martin Luther King about, you know, the arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice. And I think that what is pretty clear is that it doesn't bend by itself. We have to bend it towards justice, right? We need to bring our better angels to the table, right? We need to kind of show up for each other, right? And recognize that, look, we are the majority here. And you might not agree with me specifically about my politics or something like this, but those of us, say, for example, who wear a mask to try to do our part to make sure that we can bring an end to the pandemic, we are in the majority. Those of us who say, like, we're waiting for the vaccine so that we could return to some semblance of normality, whatever that might be right now, and the vaccine became available, we waited in line. We put our name in. We went and we got it. We got our first shot. We got our second shot. Right? That's what I'm talking about. And the kind of institutions that we've expected just to be there for us, like school boards or newspapers or what it might be, we're at a point where we need to step up and defend those institutions and make sure that we get people that are running them, whether they're, you know, and the journalists who are writing for the newspapers, the people that, who are teaching our kids in the school, who are running our schools, and yes, who are elected on our school boards, have that same mentality. We might not all agree on all the kind of specifics of our political backgrounds, but that's one thing that we should be able to agree on, that we want our institutions to function as the best they possibly can and prepare our kids for the world as it is, not some fantasy land as the way it was 100 years ago. Right. So anyways, this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Thank you for sticking with us tonight. And I want to make sure that you hit that volunteer form, the Pennridge United volunteer form, which will be in the show notes. And, you know, if you're in this area and you're looking for a way to kind of have a little social gathering and, you know, support the campaign, you can click on the link for information about their Yoga and Wine Sunset fundraiser. And you heard Carolyn and Dawn say it, you know, every Saturday at 11 a.m., they meet at the Dunkin' Donuts in Silverdale. That's right at the intersection of 113 and 152, I believe. That you can head on over there and you can kind of meet them. And if you want to go knock some doors with them, ask them how you can help. And, you know, if you can kind of spare the money to kind of donate to help support their campaign, you can do that too as well. So this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Thank you all for sticking with us. Cyril will be back on Wednesday. We've got a new show coming for you. And I've got a great interview that is being lined up. We're trying to work out the time yet, but I'll let you know as soon as I get that nailed down about when that's going to happen. I think you're going to love it. You're going to be like, what? And it's going to fit right within the theme of the past couple of months. I'll just leave it at that. All right. I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to get out of here. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Thanks for sticking around, everybody, tonight. Whew. God, we got so much work to do. But at least we got hope, right? And we got our work. See ya!